Matter of fact, our worship team is awesome. Amen. They're great. Love the songs they sing, and it's wonderful. How many love just to get in the environment of what's happening here? Amen. Isn't it awesome? You know, when we can, the children, the kids, the teens can march around, go through the river, you know, have a blast, have fun. How many know church ought to be fun too, right? We ought to be like children in that sense, right? So, amen. All right. Okay, so Father God, I just thank you for the word that you put in my heart last Monday as I was walking in the park. I just thank you, Lord, that you said in your word, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability of Christ. And so I thank you for that in advance. And we just thank you that you're going to change all of us in the midst, in Jesus' name. I will tell you that at the close, we're going to have our altar team down here to anoint you with oil. And you'll understand why a little bit later. Oil is associated with blessing, okay? And we're going to be talking today about the blessings of God, triggering the blessings of God. Lean over and ask your neighbor, are you ready to get triggered? Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Amen. In a good way, right? Okay, so let's start by reading. We're going to read the main verses that I'm going to be speaking on today. But let's read, first of all, Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. Okay. How many love the book of Ephesians? It's an awesome book, you know. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bless us in the future. It's all past tense. It's a done deal. Tell your neighbor, it's a done deal. Say you're already blessed. What you worried about? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. I've had people say, well, that's just spiritual. No, that's the source. The source came from heaven, right? It came from the Holy Spirit. It's spiritual. And how many know that covers everything in a sense? Because all this is really past tense of what God's already done for it. With every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Do you know that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places right now? But Pastor Dave, I'm here on earth. Yeah, you're two places at once. Hallelujah. You're here in your body, but also the Bible says you're seated with him in heavenly places. I don't feel it. Shut up. Okay? All right. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. Wow. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you're really old. He knew you from the foundation of the world. Praise God. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Only one way that could happen, and that's through the blood of Christ. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. How many know it's all about his will? It's all about him. Lean over and tell your neighbor, it's not about you. You're loved. You're cherished. You're predestined. God has an awesome plan for you, but it's really about him. It's for his pleasure. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. Tell your neighbor, you're accepted in Christ. I don't see the word rejection in there. You're accepted in Christ. To the praise of the glory of his grace by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him, how many know we're in Christ? Amen. In him we have redemption. We'll look at that. Through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Wow. So let's dive in, okay? All right. Don't even have to hold your nose. We're going to dive in here. Let's look at Ephesians 1:3. Start at the starting place. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every. How much is every? Is it physical? Is it financial? Or is it just spiritual? No, it's the whole enchilada, all right? who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, the first fill-in, we can't earn it. We can't earn it by works. Well, Pastor Dave, I had this one lady. I opened the church. This is for our youth meeting on Friday night. And apparently this young lady had been in the church in some kind of earlier event during the day and stayed there, even when they locked it up. So I'm unlocking, I'm going in. I'm turning the lights on, and I'm going around the quarter. We had like an octagon, and I'm going around the quarter, and all of a sudden I bump into this young lady, you know. Well, hello. And she looked at me and she said, "I want you to know that I have been fasting and believing God for great things." I'm thinking, well, you didn't need to tell me that. I mean, that's kind of, you got your reward already, right, according to what the Bible says. But so the Lord wants us to know we can't earn it. We can't earn it by works, as we have already received it at salvation. So let's look over at Galatians chapter 1. Listen, this is basic stuff, but how many know we need to have this rehearsed in our mind and our hearts, our spirits, right? We do. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you especially need this. Okay. Okay. He said, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the," what? "Grace of Christ." I mean, if we're not careful, it's easy to get off on counting on all the good stuff you do. Well, Pastor Dave, are you saying we shouldn't do these things? I'm saying it has to do with source, the source of it. Let me tell you, I have prayed for so many people over the years when I felt nothing, zero, zippo. I just knew I was, as a pastor, I needed to go pray for them. They call me, "Will you come and pray for my loved one?" Yes, I will. I get there, maybe have a headache. It's been a long day, you know. And Ina's not fed me that day. No, I'm just kidding. She's great at that. So I get there. I feel zero, nothing. Like my prayers didn't even get out of the ceiling. Now, I'm not going to admit that, but how many know we can't live by feelings? And then I hear there's a miracle been done. We have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. How many know it ain't us? It's him, right? He said, "You got a different gospel." A lot of people are preaching a different gospel today. They're mixing works and grace. You get saved by grace, yeah, and then you're on your own. No, that's not what the Bible says. Not at all, right? "Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ," meaning the gospel of grace. "But even if we or an angel in heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be," what? "Accursed." Paul, are you really saying what I think you're saying? Well, in case you missed it, "As we have said before, so now we say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than that which you have received, let him be accursed." Wow. It is demonic, right? So, lean over and tell your neighbor, "I'm really glad you're here." Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. Ephesians 1, 4. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." I can't even fathom that, right? But it's true. "That we should be holy and without blame before him in love." How many know that you are not only chosen? Tell your neighbor, you're chosen. Chosen in Christ, right? And that blood continually washes you and cleanses you from all sin. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, okay? So, we are already chosen, blameless and loved. It doesn't mean we can't be corrected. How many know we all need that from time to time? Often. How many would rather be corrected by the Word of God? You know, you can sit there and look cherubic. angelic. And the Word is working on you. And the Word is saying, you know, you need to make, God through the Holy Spirit, saying you need to make some changes here. Need to make some changes there. And you're looking, you know. How many would rather be corrected by the Word than circumstances? Yeah, absolutely. Any day of the week. And that's God's way, is to correct us by His Word. So let's look at Hebrews 12, 5 through 7. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons or daughters. My son, do not despise the chastening. That's old King James for discipline. All right? The chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. Have you ever been reading the Word of God and it just nailed you? And you felt, well, I've been rebuked. But then you're glad because God's confronted you because He loves you. It's like a parent. Why are you spanking me, Daddy? Because you need it, first of all. And I love you. Really? Yeah. Okay. Nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him, for whom the Lord loves, He chastens or disciplines. And scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening or discipline, God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? Plenty today. But it is. And we're not going in that direction, but nevertheless. The Greek word for chosen is ekligo. And that it's in the Greek, and it literally means, this is crazy, out, I say. And we're not talking about demonic things here. It literally speaks, this word, ekligo, speaks specifically of soldiers. That's the fill-in. Soldiers chosen out of the army to go on a special mission. How many know every one of you has been chosen by God for a special mission? Isn't that awesome? How many know we're all different? We're all different. He puts us in different communities and neighborhoods to reach the people who can be reached in that neighborhood, right? Some can, some cannot. You just don't know. But you, as you let your light shine, let the Holy Spirit lead you and help you, okay? So God will correct us through His Word, but we have literally been called out. Now, some people that we talk to will be glad that we talk to them. Others will not, right? On the good side, I remember going, I was assigned as a teacher in training. I was assigned to this place called Tecumseh High School. It was just outside of Springfield, Ohio. And you say, why were you doing student teaching if you're not going to teach? I felt like I needed practice getting up in front of people if I was going to go into the ministry. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, I want you to take a semester out and just get student teaching, get up in front of the class, teach them. I got to this class. It's way out in the country, this high school. Turns out the guy who is the head football coach there, Roger McLean, was my big brother in the fraternity that I was in. He was the football coach. He grabs me. Dave Newell, I'm so glad you're here. I want you to know we run the school. You won't have any issues here. If you do, let me know. He said, you're going to have lunch with us every day. And he said, it'll be me and the principal and the assistant principal. And he said, we're going to have a good time. I said, good. I finished my time there. I was supposed to go in for an interview. Why? They had this lady that was going to come out, and she was going to grade me, and she was going to give me a rating or something like that. And everybody wanted her smile because it made a difference in the school that they would go to and everything else. But I didn't care because I wasn't going to be a teacher in a public school. So she comes out all business, hair pulled back, horn-rim glasses, you know, and like Sergeant Friday, you know, yep, nope, and just not a lot of talk. And so she just looked at me. She said, well, have you enjoyed your stay here? I said, yeah, very much. Well, what do you feel like you want to teach? I said, well, ma'am, I said, I'm not going to be a school teacher. I'm going into the ministry. What? Why are you doing this? I said, because the Holy Spirit told me that I needed to the practice of getting up in front of people and speaking to them. And she goes, whoa. The tough edge, the tough exterior melted. She pulls off her glasses. She says, would you pray for me? I had no fruit until that time. But she said, I lost my husband a year ago, and I've been heartbroken ever since. I said, give me your hand. Let's pray. I was really new at this stuff. But how many know when you're new and you feel helpless, the Holy Spirit will come through for you? That's what he's there for. And so he really helped me. And how many know he'll do the same for you? Tell your neighbor he'll do the same for you. And so we had a wonderful time, fellowship and everything. But not everybody's going to be happy for you. I remember I told my good friend John Morzenti, who I think he called me about 2 years ago. I think this guy's won Navy crosses and everything. And he was in college with me. And I reminded him, I said, John, you remember years and years ago, I drove you home from college to your parents' house in Madison, New Jersey. And they made me stay for lunch, and they were very friendly. And they said, well, Dave, now what are you going to do when you graduate from, you're ready to graduate from college? And I said, well, the Lord has made a way for me to go to seminary, and I'm going to be a minister. Their whole attitude changed. They did everything but kick me out of the house. Called me a fool. Just derision after derision. John, the son, he's looking at me, he's going, I don't understand this. But you know what? I had counted the cost. And I'm under my breath and in my heart, I'm saying, I forgive him, Lord, I forgive him. Bless him anyway, Lord, bless him anyway. And they got madder and madder when they saw I wasn't losing it. Now, in the normal, in natural, I would lose it. I mean, no, we're all that way. I used to be a violent person. I did long jobs, break pumpkins, did the whole nine yards, you know. So that was old Dave. How many remember old you, right? Some of you are looking cherubic like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. No lightning, please, Lord. Speaking of lightning, I did got to tell you a story. This guy comes into the church. This is when we were in Louisiana. I had witnessed to him. He comes to church. Lightning hits the church. All the lights go out. He goes, I knew this was going to happen. I told everybody if I go to that church, lightning's going to hit. I said, it's not, but if you go out, you never can tell. I said, you better stay. Oh, man. Oh, gosh. So, lean over and say, you're a soldier. All right. God has a special mission for you. Let's look at Ephesians 1, 7 through 8. In him we have redemption, past tense, already, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. So we have been redeemed, bought back. That word redemption literally means you've been bought back. You're purchased at a great price. Okay? So we are already redeemed. Let's look at Galatians 3:13. I love this one. Christ has redeemed us from the what? Curse of the law. You have been redeemed from the law. You want to know how bad that was? This is not in your notes because it's too long to read, but you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28 from about verse 14 on, and it's just one curse after the other. There's like 13 verses of blessing, and there's like 50-some verses of cursing. Oh, you got redeemed from that. I remember Andrew Womack said, he said, I had read where we're redeemed from mildew. Now, hopefully none of us are carrying that around, right? You know, but And he said, I had mildew growing on our walls. And he said, my wife and I took that verse and we pointed at the walls and we said, mildew, we rebuke you, get out of here, you have no place. According to the word of God, we're not under the curse. He said, next day, all the mildew gone. All right? You got to believe it. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, specifically Jesus. Okay? So, we are redeemed from the curse. That's the fill-in, curse of the law. It comes from the Greek word, I hope I can pronounce this okay, exagorizo. It's a tongue twister. But it means you have been bought back from a slave market called sin. Isn't that awesome? It speaks of the permanent removal from captivity. Wow. Lean over and tell your neighbor, you don't want to go back. Look at Galatians 4:4-5. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son born of a woman born under the law to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Okay, so you're a son, you're a daughter in the Lord. Praise God. Okay. Now, I got to say this to you. I believe that when we give our heart to Christ, that we can be redeemed in our minds, our bodies, our spirit, our finances. Yes. How many know it covers all of it? Got to tell you a story to illustrate that. Years ago, I remember I was traveling and I was out in Michigan and I was called to do a conference there and I was going to be there from Sunday through Wednesday. And so I had a call at the end of the service for salvation. I noticed we had about 13, 14 people raise their hand. One lady came down for salvation. And I remember she came to the altar, and I looked at her, and I went, man, this lady must have just come out of the hospital. She looks really bad. I didn't tell her that, obviously, but I was rejoicing that she came and gave her heart to Jesus. And then I rarely do this. I felt the Holy Spirit said, do it. Then I had a call for healing. The lady came down for healing. And looking at her, I figured, yeah, she does need that, whatever the problem is. So the elders there anointed her with oil. And then I had a call for finances. Here she comes. She got saved. She got prayer for healing. She came for her finances to be healed. Well, that was on Sunday morning. Wednesday night was my last night there. It was like a midweek service. I'm going into the church. I stop at the front door because here comes the same lady, but she looks different. I looked at her and went, you were here Sunday, huh? She went, yes. She said, wait till you hear my story. I said, God's really touched you, hadn't he? She goes, yeah, yeah. She said, they let me out of the hospital to come to church on Sunday. I had never given my heart to Christ. I did Sunday morning. She said, I felt a tremendous touch in my life. When you had the call for healing, I came down for healing. You see, she said, I had terminal cancer. But she said, I got a report. She said, after prayer, I went back and told them what had happened. They examined me. They couldn't find cancer. Then she said, and I felt something take place in my body when they laid hands on me. And then she said, when you had the call for finances, I came too because I was in debt. And she said, when she got home, she said, something has changed in my life. And she said, I think it was on a Tuesday, she gets a letter in the mail. And she said, it was some kind of financial award to me for over $20,000. I said, would you lay hands on me, please? What we're talking about is full redemption. Full redemption. All right. So I went, oh, that is, whew, it's fantastic. Okay. Number four, Ephesians 1, verse 11. Let's look at it. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Okay, so we already have an inheritance. Let's look at Acts 20 and 32. I like to corroborate Scripture. Okay, so now, brethren, I commend you, Paul says, to God and to the word of his grace. This is the Ephesian church Paul's talking about, which is able to build you up and give you what? An inheritance among all who of those who are sanctified. So you are all those things. All right? And the righteous are already qualified. Tell your neighbor, you're qualified. Let's look at Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks to the Father, who has what? Qualified us. Anybody ever see the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Remember that? Are you bona fide? Remember that? I'm bona fide. Tell your neighbor, you're bona fide in Christ. Hallelujah. Who has qualified us to be partakers. Beautiful. Beautiful. So we already have an inheritance. The righteous are already qualified. All right. We saw that. So I had this story that this friend of mine, Frank McCracken Sr., he's 95. He's still kicking. His son's pastoring the church that he started. But I remember he was saved, and he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and he got healed. And then he asked me, what's next? And I said, well, you've already been water baptized. Yep. I said, you need to land on hands in prophecy. He said, when can I get that? And so I said, well, we're having a presbytery in this church I go to in Philadelphia. It's Philadelphia Gospel Temple. And I said, I will work it so that you can get a word. So I talked to the pastor. He said, well, he's welcome to come, but we're going to give attention probably to our home people first. I said, okay, but I just want to put a bug in your ear. So I told Frank, I said, you can come, but this is what the pastor said. He said, that's okay. They're going to call me right away. Lord told me. I said, okay, praise the Lord. So he comes in. He sits down, front row, and all of a sudden, pastor said, we've had a little change of plans. And he said, Mr. McCracken, you're first up here in the prophetic. So he comes down. This guy's still a dairy farmer. He's got a call of God on his life, but he's a dairy farmer. And he's just received land to put a church up. And one of the prophets says, you are in a place between two mountains. You're in a valley. And he said, people are going to come from every direction to your church. And the prophecies went on and on. And when it was, and these were big guys, John Mears, Jim Beal, all these people. And they asked him, where do you pastor? He said, I pastor sheep right now. Literal sheep, you know. Literal. but he said, we got a church property and we're ready to go. They went, whoa, well, get ready. And it became very successful. So, amen. All right. So, the righteous have been predestined to fulfill God's purpose. Number five, let's look at Ephesians 1:13 and 14. In him also you trusted after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed. Say, sealed. Tell your neighbor, you're sealed. We're not talking about postage stamps now, all right? You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee. Justin Wilson would say guarantee. The guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Wow, we're sealed. Jesus loves us. Woo, my. All right, so fill in. God's people are sealed with the Spirit. The word for sealed is, here's one of those complicated Greek words again. I have to do this slowly. Sphragidzo. It means the contents of a package is guaranteed to arrive to the owner fully intact. Whoa. Jesus. All right. To the owner fully intact, complete is the fill-in with no defects. Isn't that awesome? A seal of hot wax was poured on the flap of the envelope. The seal guarantees the package will reach its final destination. You are special in the Lord. Wow. Tell your neighbor, you're special. Final one, and then we're going to call for the team to come down, and we're going to anoint you with oil. Number six, we are anointing you with oil, that's the fill-in, as a sign you have been separated for a special purpose. Bible calls it predestiny. You have a special purpose that God has set you apart for and that he has blessed you to fulfill it. Say, it's going to happen for me. Let's look at Psalm 23, 5 and 6. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. Praise God, my cup runs over. Because of that, what? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Anointing is associated with goodness, and it's so associated with blessing. Let's look at Matthew 26, our last scriptures here, 7 and then 12 through 13. A woman came to him having an alabaster flask of costly fragrant oil, and she poured it on his head as he sat at the table. For in pouring this fragrant oil on my body, Jesus said, she did it for my burial. Assuredly, that means you can believe it's going to happen. I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Now, I've got to tell you this story, and then we're done. This really was one of those times where I knew that it was totally God, not me. He just had me at the right place at the right time. I got a call from this lady. Her first name was Maggie. And Maggie said, Pastor Dave, my husband has had a massive heart attack. And he's in the hospital. And he's really in a bad way. And would you please go pray for him? And I don't think he knows the Lord. I said, okay, I'll go. So I went there and it went pretty early in the morning. And he was there. And he knew me from his wife. And he said, I'm glad you're here, Pastor Dave. I'm glad you're here. Like a long story short, I said, do you know Jesus? He said, no. Are you ready to get saved? Give your heart to Christ. You've had a really close encounter here, and of not the good kind. And I said, the enemy meant it for evil, but God can turn this thing around for good for you. He said, I'm ready. So he said the sinner's prayer with me. We agreed. And then I anointed him with oil on his forehead. I rebuked the condition of his heart, his body, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, commanded a miracle to take place in his life. He thanked me, and then I walked out the door. I did not expect a phone call to come at about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It was his wife. Have you ever picked up the phone and somebody was yelling, screaming on the other end of the phone? I didn't know whether it was good or bad. At first, I didn't know whether, you know, he got saved and he went immediately home to be with Jesus. But that wasn't the case. She said, he's healed, he's healed, he's healed. Can I tell you what happened? I said, yeah, tell me. And she said, well, I came to feed him lunch. And she said, how many know God has a sense of humor? So she pushes the tray up to him, right? How you feeling, darling? He said, I feel wonderful. He said, the preacher came by, prayed for me. I gave my heart to Jesus. And she said, you hungry? He said, I'm very hungry. Pulls the cover off the dish. A roach jumps out.
No.
Hospital food.
No.
He says he was a businessman, self-made guy. He pushes the thing away. He said, I'm getting out of here. He said, that was God incentive, you know. He said, I'm getting out of here. And she said, you can't get it. He said, oh, yeah. He said, the pastor came by, I'm fine. He laid hands on me, I'm good. I feel great, I'm out of here. So, well, he said, I don't care what the doctors say, I'm gone. So he gets dressed. He said, you save it. Turns out they examined him. There's no damage, like he never had it. Oh, Jesus, wow. What did you feel? Well, I walked out. I was tired. I just wanted to get in and get out. I'm just being honest with you. I didn't know this guy, but I also knew I needed to be faithful to his wife and to him too, because why else would you do that, right? But if I went by my feelings, zero, nothing, you know, except I need a nap, right? But see, it is not us. It is the Holy Spirit in us. That's why he gets the glory. Praise God. So let's stand. I'd like our team to come, whoever you are. Get ready. The oil is over there. Let's get ready to anoint you.